You know, I say this about a lot of messages, but mainly the only messages I like to teach are life-changing messages. So this is life-changing. This is powerful. This will truly set your Christian walk with the Lord into a place of excitement and joy like never before. If you're not regularly involved in the witnessing to other people, sharing your faith with other people, you're seriously missing out on some tremendous blessings. I believe that there is these circles that would all be encompassed, that would be like the will of God. And this is the will of God. And this is also the will of God. And this is the will of God. You know, all the things that would be involved in these circles. And this is the will of God. And then you get down to this one where it's like the laser. If this was all a lighted area, if you bring in that laser beam to its most concentrated place, there is no other thing that we can be involved in on this planet, feeding the poor, counseling people, helping people in any way, all of the different ways that are involved, you know, all the social activities that the churches get involved in, which are all wonderful and great things. There is nothing on this planet that you can get involved in that will be more the heart of God than what I'm teaching on right now, and that is sharing his son, Jesus, with other people, introducing people to Jesus and thus to the Father, bringing them into reconciliation with the Father. There's nothing more important to the Father's heart than this issue. Now, with that being the case, does it not just stand to reason, just logically, doesn't it stand to reason, if we just look at it logically, that this would be a place that we would experience God, the moving of his spirit, him getting involved, if we are doing something, an activity that is at the center of his heart, the most important thing to the heart of God. You know, if you have children and, well, I won't go into all that. I don't want to take too much time, but you get the point. If a child of yours is doing something that's really the most important thing to your heart, they're going to have your attention versus if they're doing some kind of, you know, peripheral thing that it's all right and you're good with it and you're glad they're doing it. But when they do something that's the center of your heart, they're going to get your attention more than anything else. Well, this has been my personal experience. You know, I've been involved in a lot of different Christian activities, but there is nothing that compares to what happens when I spend time witnessing to someone about Jesus. It's really a foregone conclusion. I know this every time. If I'm going to spend some time talking to that person over there about Jesus, the Holy Ghost is going to be all over me and all over them. It happens every single time. Now, he'll be more all over them if they're receptive to it, but he'll be all over me regardless. And I just get to bask in his presence when I'm doing it. It's a beautiful thing. I'm kind of getting ahead of myself because that's part of my message towards the end, but I just wanted to kind of say a few things to just really get you to pay attention to this message and not just sit there and just receive it like, oh yeah, it's a good message. No, listen, this will change your life. Now I'm going to talk to you today about a lot of reasons why it'll change your life. I'm going to get more specific, but I just want to kind of tell you that it's just on the onset of the message. This is a powerful message. So getting into it, I'm going to review a little bit from last week. Reasons why more Christians don't share with others. And we talked about that. The main reason is this. It's fear. The number one obstacle without question is fear. And that fear really comes in two forms. One is not knowing what to say. You know, we just find ourselves saying, I'd love to talk to this person, but I don't have a clue what I would say. How do you do this? Where do you begin? You know, just that whole idea of, I don't know what to say. Kind of involved in that would be, what if they ask me questions I don't know the answers to? Right? So that becomes a big part of our resistance. It's why we don't share our faith. The second reason is rejection. We're afraid of rejection. You know, what if they just respond really angrily. Maybe they don't want anything to do with this. Maybe they get upset with me for trying to talk to them about the Lord. So as for the number one reason, I don't know what to say. That's what the workshop's for. So I've already addressed that in that I've arranged for you guys to be taught 6-hour course, 2 3-hour courses pouring into you what to say so that you'll be well equipped. You'll know, by the end of that workshop, you'll say, this is great. I mean, I know what to say. I know how to lead someone from A to Z and come into Christ. So that's what that's for. So I'm not addressing that now, but the 6th and the 13th will be 2 3-hour workshops where you'll be trained through 6 hours of workshop how to do this. So I'm only going to address number 2, which I talked about last week. I've adjusted the notes a little bit. So if you took notes, you might find my wording's a little bit adjusted. As I spent more time on it this week, I kind of wanted to reword it. It's the same thing. I just reworded some of my own notes. So number 1, the number 1 concern under rejection is that most people don't want to know what I have to say. What I want to say to you through experience, and a lot of experience, is that is a lie. It's absolutely 100% not true. It really isn't true. I have spoken to thousands of people about the Lord, and I can tell you that the vast majority are really interested in what I have to say, and they are very thankful. By the time I get done talking to them, they really, really appreciate that I took the time to talk to them. I mean, like the majority, I'd venture to say 80% of the people I talk to end up getting teary-eyed. That's how much it strikes their heart. I'm fully expecting it. When I start to talk to someone, I know they're going to get teary-eyed because it so speaks to their heart. Now, I want to address that a little bit from, I really want to kind of hit this fear, this point of fear, a little bit stronger. We are inundated with information, mainly through television and radio, that screams that the majority of people don't want anything to do with Christianity. The basic message is an extremely liberal message. And it's just becoming more and more that way, you know, where Christians become the joke, people don't really want to know anything about us, and we're the marginalized people. And that's how they would make us feel. The vast majority, they're going one way, and we're kind of these people over here a little on the side, you know. I just want you to know, first of all, that the people who control the media are the minority, the very small minority, and they are extremely liberal. So all you're hearing are the voices of the liberal people. And we need to be smart enough to realize that that's what we're hearing. There are some exceptions. You have Fox News, which is a conservative news base, but virtually everything else out there is extremely liberal. You need to know that. Otherwise, you think, well, this is what everyone thinks, right? I hear it everywhere. I hear it every station. You know, you watch all the television programming, all the programs that are on there, and, you know, it's just extremely liberal. All the sitcoms are just laden with sexual immorality and, you know, homosexuality, and they're just, you know, pumping all this stuff into your minds, thinking, making you think this is how everyone is. This is how everyone feels. So I did a little bit of research. All of them are basically saying the same numbers. I just wanted to read you something so you have the facts about the culture that you're living in. Gallup survey finds a majority of Americans still religious. That's the headline of this particular article. It's just real short. It's only one paragraph. I'm going to read this to you. December 4th, 2012. So this is very recent, just a couple months ago. A new survey shows that despite the endless reports of rising secularism in the United States, right? Constant reports coming out talking about the rise of secularism and how everything's going this particular way, which is anti-God. It says, despite the endless reports of rising secularism in the United States, we're still an overwhelmingly religious nation. David Sessions, David Sessions breaks down to trends. What? David Sessions. What's that? Does anyone know what that is? Doesn't make any sense to me. Anyhow, a survey published Tuesday by Gallup reveals, now here's the numbers, reveals that 7 in 10 Americans consider themselves moderate or very religious. The research, based on more than 300,000 interviews, so it's a good sampling, 300,000 interviews with Americans conducted through 2012, shows basically what American religion surveys always show. The country is overwhelmingly religious, with a very slow increasing number of non-believers and a slightly faster increase in unbranded religious believers. So 7 out of 10 people, in other words, in this country still consider themselves moderate or conservative, not liberal. On a political note, just strictly political, another survey was taken and asked a very large sampling of people, do you consider yourself a liberal, a moderate, or a conservative? 21% considered themselves liberal. They called themselves liberal. Do you realize that leaves approximately 80% do not consider themselves liberal? 80% of the people in this country do not believe or espouse all the garbage that you're hearing on TV. They don't espouse it. The people who still believe like we believe make up the vast majority of the people in this country. I just want you to know that. The only people you're hearing from is out of that 21%. They control the airways. So they're just sending all this stuff our way, and it can make you feel like you're alone. Here's another number. In the year 1900, 943 people a day were giving their life to Jesus Christ. 943 people. All right? It sounds like everything's just going to hell in a handbasket, and to a large degree, it is as far as the moral foundation of our country, as well as many others. But here's the other side of that coin. God didn't stop working. Even though the devil's working hard, God is working very powerfully throughout the entire earth. It's not like the Christians have gone to sleep and God's not doing anything and the devil's the only one that's actually working. 943 people a day were giving their life to Jesus Christ in 1900. And then it just continued to grow. Today, it varies tremendously between, you can read a lot of different reports on this, but the lowest number out there by far is 150,000 people a day are giving their life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Right now, 150,000 people a day are committing their life to Jesus Christ. Now, some reports are as high as 200 and 250,000 a day. So we are literally living in the greatest revival that has ever happened on planet Earth, ever. The greatest revival that has ever happened is happening right now, all over this planet. The body of Christ is alive and well and rocking and rolling. Now, I'll also tell you this. There are millions and millions of Christians out there every day sharing their faith left and right, leading people to Christ. And I just want to stir this body up to be amongst them, not to be amongst those who just sit on the side and are not doing anything about this, but to get into the battle. To get involved. So I just want to encourage you. Hopefully you find that encouraging. That it's just a bunch of rhetoric that you're hearing on TV and you're hearing on the radios and everything else. This country's on fire for the Lord. Now, a lot of the greatest miracles are happening in a lot of other countries, but there's still a lot of great things happening right here in this country. So back to my point. First point is this idea in your mind that people don't want to hear what I have to say is simply not true. The vast majority of people out there desperately want to hear what you have to say. They really do. They are completely lost, and they know it. But they don't know what the answer is, and they're looking for it in every place imaginable. But no one is simply stepping up to them and saying, hey, can I tell you something about the Lord? Can I talk to you about God? Most people, even though it's a heavy subject, they may kind of be taken back a little bit, but then when they think about it for a second, their heart's crying, yes, this is what I've been looking for. And then they'll say, yes, please do. And then you start to share with them, and the Holy Spirit will be on it, witnessing to the truth that you're speaking, and it'll be all over them. The Holy Spirit doesn't leave you alone. He's not about to miss this opportunity. He's there. He promises in his word he will be there. If we will go into all the world and preach the gospel, it says that the Lord will be there. Lo, I am with you always. And it says that Jesus told his disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And it says they went everywhere, the Lord working with and confirming them with signs following. Confirming the word with signs following. The Lord working with and confirming. That's what Jesus does. By his Holy Spirit that dwells in us, he will confirm your word as you speak the word. So I just want to tell you, it's only the voice of fear and the enemy that tells you that people don't want to hear. The truth of the matter is, most want to hear what you have to say. Number two, if they do reject, so that maybe 20% that just say, no, I'm really not interested, don't want to hear what you have to say, or get offended if you're talking to them. Here's a couple things I want to say to that. Really, to just dispel that. I'm not just trying to sell you. This is the truth. I'm telling you, anything else you believe in is a lie. This is the truth. Number one, it's okay. It's really okay. Don't take offense to it. For one, you're simply offering them a gift. And two, it's not about you anyhow. You know, when a guy meets a girl and he's interested in the girl and he wants to ask the girl out, who's he representing? Who's he talking to the girl about? Himself. Hey, would you like to go out with me? You know, it's all about him, right? He's hoping that she finds him interesting. He finds her interesting. He's hoping it's vice versa. Now, if the girl says no, you big ugly duck, get out of my face. I have no interest in you, whatever. He feels rejected because he was rejected. So it's understandable. But when we are talking to someone about the Lord, we're not telling them about us. We're not saying, hey, believe in me and I'll save you. We're saying, hey, can I tell you about Jesus? We're simply wanting to introduce them to somebody else. We're not talking about us. So if they say, I'm not interested, what they're saying is, I'm not interested in hearing about this person you want to tell me about. You're not talking to them about you. Are you with me? In a powerful way that God taught this to me. I gave the story last week, and I'll just real quickly touch on it just to remind you. I was going into a restaurant to eat with a friend of mine very early in the morning. I saw this girl sitting on the curb in the parking lot. I just noticed her, continued on my way with my friend. The Spirit of the Lord spoke to me, told me to witness to her. Now, do you think God knew what her response was going to be? He is omniscient. Do you know what that means? All-knowing. There is no knowledge, none. There is no knowledge outside of his knowledge. There is no such thing. It doesn't exist. No knowledge outside of his knowledge. He knows everything, including every thought. He knows what you're going to say before the words even get on your tongue. He knows what you're going to say. He knows everything. There's nothing he doesn't know. He knew precisely what that girl was going to do. And he knew he would reject what I had to say to her. And yet, interestingly, he said, Brad, go witness to her. He knows she's going to reject it. Now, why would he do that? Why would he tell me to witness to a girl that he knows is going to reject the message? I can think of two reasons why he would say it. Not to say I know everything that's going on in God's mind, but I can think of two reasons why he would do it. Number one, he still wants her to know that he loves her. Regardless of how she's going to respond right then, he wants her to know. Number two, he wanted to teach his son something. his son, who was getting all wrapped up in people's rejection, every time I'd witness, if they did reject, I'd get wrapped up in it. I would take it personally. And he was like, son, I need to teach you something. Go witness to this girl who I know is going to reject you quite harshly. And so I go over there thinking, oh, this girl's going to accept Christ because God specifically spoke to me. Go witness her. And I'm like, yeah, man, I'm fired up. So I go over there and I start talking to her. And she listened to me for about 10 minutes, didn't say a word. And I thought, man, she's just soaking this up, you know. And when I got done and I said, so if you want, I'll pray with you right now. You can accept Christ right now. And she turned to me for the first time in that 10 minutes and said, I can't believe you believe that, C-R-A-P. I was like, whoa. I was totally caught off guard, too, because I'm thinking she's receiving this, you know. So I walk away. I just said, well, okay, you know. I don't know what I said, but, you know, I just, as nicely as I can, I departed. And then I left, and I was going back towards the restaurant, and my heart has just sunk, and I feel really bad, and I feel totally rejected and everything. And then the Lord spoke to me, and he said, she did not reject you. She did not just then reject you. She rejected me. And the way he said it was just such a revelation. It just went right into my heart. And I felt terrible for God, but all of a sudden, I wasn't feeling terrible for me anymore at all. I felt bad for God. She just rejected him. He just made it, you know how the Lord works. When he speaks, it's just like crystal clear. You get it. It's revelation knowledge. It's not sense knowledge. It's a revelation. I got it, just clear as day. It just wiped that fear of rejection out of my heart. I realized from now on, this is crazy when I'm taking this personally. It's not about me. It's about him. And he said to me, she just rejected me. So I just want to remind you, it's not about you and it's not about me. When we're talking to them, we're there to introduce them to somebody else, not about ourselves, right? So hopefully that helps you. It should. It's very powerful. And the other thing is, it's like I gave that example last week. In case you weren't here, there was a gentleman here, and I had an envelope, and I told him there was $1,000 in the envelope, and I was trying to give him the envelope. I said, here, I have $1,000 I want to give you. And he's like, whatever, I don't believe there's $1,000 in there, you nutcake. And he walks away, right? Should I feel bad because he didn't receive the $1,000 I was trying to give him? I think a normal response would be like, wow, he just missed out. I really tried to give the guy some money. I mean, that would be our response, right? He missed out. And that's exactly what we're doing when we're witnessing to someone. We're trying to give them a gift. We're trying to bless them beyond their comprehension. We literally have the words that would change their eternal destiny, where they're going to spend all of eternity. We have the words to share with them to change that destiny, and they reject it. Wow, did they ever miss out? That's all it is. There's no reason to be afraid of it. You should maybe feel bad for them and have compassion on them and pity that they turned that down, but that's the only emotional response that is actually makes sense. Does that make sense? If I offer this guy $1,000 and he turns it down and I feel terrible within myself, I mean, that doesn't even make sense. It's like, why? He's the one that missed out. And it's the same way when we share Christ. Number two, or that is number two. Number three, oh yes, this part also. Your part, so this is still continuing from number two, if they do reject you, your part is to obey, right? So if you go and share Christ with someone and they reject the message that you want to share with them, do you know you have fulfilled what God has asked you to do 100%? 100%. It's not like, well, you get a 50% mark if they don't accept Christ, and you get 100% if they do accept Christ. God never said in his word, go and make people believe in me. It's not there. He simply says, go and preach the gospel. And these signs will follow who? Those who believe. What's that mean? It means Jesus knows many people aren't going to believe. And many people will. So he says these signs will follow those who believe. So it doesn't catch him off guard when people don't believe. Jesus knows only some will believe, and he never says it's your responsibility to make them believe. Your responsibility is to tell them the message. That's it. So when I go and I share the message with someone, if they don't receive the message, I have still obeyed the Lord. And there's a great reward in that. So it's still a wonderful thing. Even if they reject, I mean, it's a wonderful thing. I mean, in a very selfish way, it's like, I did my part. I'm still serving the Lord. How they respond is not my responsibility. Louis gave me this analogy last week, and I loved it. It's like the postman. His job is to deliver the mail, right? It's not his responsibility how you respond to your mail. Did I say that right? You know, if I open up the mail and I don't like the mail, that's not the mailman's fault. I mean, that's my business, how I respond to this mail. Well, we're like the mailman in the kingdom of God. We're our job, we've been called by God to deliver the message. That's it. I had a beautiful message given to me by God, as supernatural can be. Driving down the freeway, open-eyed vision in my mom's house. I'm in my mother's living room. I see all these people. The Lord speaks to me and says, these all have been asking for more of me. I want you to give it to them. And then he gives me this download, supernatural download of a message so fast. I was writing it down. I was trying to drive and I'm writing it down with a pen and a napkin. Gave me the whole message, scripture after scripture, exactly what to say to them. I went. I called them all. They all showed up. I had invited them to come to my mom's house, and guess where they all sat? Exactly where I saw them in the vision. I could have told them, you're going to sit over there, you're going to sit over there, you're going to sit over there. I just sat there and watched, enjoying it. Bloop, 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 bloop. They all sat down. Yep, exactly where I knew you were going to sit. Full-on vision. Download of the message. Start to preach it. It's going to be probably an hour-long message. 10 minutes into it, one of them gets all mad about a point that I made. And she was a Bible teacher at the time. I was only a year old in the Lord. And she says, young man, how long have you been studying the Bible? I said, about a year. She said, I've been studying and teaching the Bible longer than you've been alive. And I'm not going to put up with this heresy any longer. And she gets up and storms out of the house. And then a couple other people, she was their ride. They're like, she's our ride, man. I said, yeah, I understand. Go ahead. So they left. And then a couple other people started talking. And they're like, well, you know, maybe I guess it's over. And they all left. That was it. Over. I go up into my bedroom, man, I just start crying. I was so heartbroken. I'm still just really young in the Lord. I don't understand a whole bunch of this stuff. And I'm just like, God, but I have a message from you for these people. And then the Lord said to me, did my son carry my message? And I said, yes. And he said, what'd they do to him? Wow. You all get that? Do I need to explain that? And then the Lord said, your responsibility is to do what I tell you to do. Their response is not your responsibility. Again, just teaching me that lesson. Powerful lesson. That's what I'm trying to tell you. I'm trying to pass it on to you. When we share Christ, we've done our job. We're pleasing to the Father. We're obeying the Lord. So just kick rejection in the teeth and just forget that nonsense. That's just out there from the enemy to stop you from doing what God's called you to do. It is not our job to make them believe. The third part is every single time that I go to witness someone, I said this a little differently last time, but I reworded it. We can plant a seed every single time. And the way that you do that is when you tell someone you want to talk to them about the Lord, all right, they already know what the subject matter is, right? Even if I don't get another word in, they just say, whatever, no, not interested, you know, I'm out of here, whatever. They just reject it. No, thank you, I'm not interested, whatever. Be as kind as the Lord would have you to be. Be kind. They have a gift from God. That gift is called a free will. God, your Father, who you're representing, gave that to them. Who are you or who am I to step on that free gift? That is their right to say, I'm not interested. 100% a beautiful free gift God's given to them, right, called a free will. So if they say, no, I'm not interested, I'm not going to step on that and say, what's wrong with you? You're no good for nothing, too, but you know. No, I just say, okay, that's all right. Hey, it was great talking with you anyhow or whatever. I leave it as kind as I can leave it. Now, when I do that, they walk away with two things that they know out of that. Even if it was a 10-second interaction, they know two things. One, I wanted to talk to them about the Lord because that's what I said. That's the part they rejected, right? So they know what I was there to represent. Number two, what else do they know? Is anybody out there? They know that you were really kind. Yeah, that's it, man. You're listening. They know that I was very kind to them. Those are the two things they know. That I was talking about Jesus, and they're going to have the thought of, you know what, man, I was a real jerk to that guy. I mean, I was pretty mean, or to that girl. And they were just like really sweet. They never changed. No matter how mean I was, they were just kind. That will never leave them. They will associate Jesus and your kindness. That's why you never want them to associate Jesus and you being rude. Jesus and you being a jerk. Amen? Every single opportunity, every single time I go to witness to someone, it's an opportunity to plant a seed. I'm going to talk to them about the Lord. If they reject it, I just remain kind. And they walk away with that association, and it's powerful. I remember I had two people do that to me, and I was very rude about it. But they didn't know I was seriously hurting. I watched my brother get killed right in front of my eyes. Everyone told me it was God's will. That drove a knife into my heart. It made me hate God. So when people talked to me about God, they were talking to me about the one who killed my brother. And so I was very mean about it. And I was like, you know. And the first two people who tried to witness to me, man, I was not nice. But they were. And I never forgot that. So every time is an opportunity. All right, next thing I want to say to you, I want to share with you 8 reasons why to share. And I've got about 5 minutes to do it. What a bummer. I had this planned out better than this, but our worship went much longer, which I didn't want to stop because it was so sweet. So, here's what, I want to give you a backdrop to this. Last week, I was really praying into this and asking the Father to help me bring this message to you in the best way possible. I want so much to have all of you on board with this, on fire, sharing your faith, because I know what it's going to do for you. I know what it'll do for the Father, and I know what it's going to do for those that are lost. Everybody wins. And if you don't do it, everybody loses. You lose. They lose, and the Father loses. We need to get on with the Father's business. This is what the Father has called us to. So I was before the Lord, and I was like, God, help me. Lead me. Show me, Lord. What is it that I can say that will plant your vision into their hearts, Lord, that will inspire, that will cause them to break through the fear? Father, what can I say? And I don't want to insult any of you if you feel like, you know, I don't need you to pump me up. I'm already doing it. If you're already about this, then I'm not referring to you. I'm just trying to help those who are having a hard time with it and they're struggling with the idea of sharing their faith. I'm praying into that and just asking God to give me, Lord, what can I say to them that would help motivate them? What motivates your people, Father? What causes millions of Christians that are out there sharing their faith to do that, and the others that don't, why don't they? And so, that was my prayer, and I'm just praying, God, show me, teach me. What do I say? What will motivate your people? And then I got quiet, and I'm just listening. And then I heard this. It was, you know, it was a thought. What motivates you? I wasn't expecting that. I was really expecting to hear God give me this great revelation. That's it, Lord. That's it. That's what I want to, you know, and I'll use that. But I want to take this as a side note and just say, there's a powerful little side lesson here. Do you know that when you pray and ask God to show you something, a principal way that the Lord will speak to you is simply a thought. And you'll have a thought, and you'll think it's your own thought. But check it and see if it relates to the thing you just prayed about. If it's an answer to what you just prayed about, it's a very good possibility that was the Holy Spirit, because that's often how he'll speak to us. It's a principal way he talks. So I could have easily dismissed that and said, well, that was my own idea. But I know that it wasn't, because I wasn't thinking about that any more than a man on the moon. I was really waiting for God to give me something to give to you. And I had this thought, well, what motivates you? And I knew, as I sat there thinking about it for a few seconds, I knew it was the Holy Spirit that asked me that question. It wasn't my own thinking. So I give this to you. I just want you to know, I want you to understand, I'm giving this to you believing this was God's leading, that God wanted me to do this. So what I did is I started thinking about, wow, yeah, what does motivate me? I didn't have anyone. I've never had a pastor do this with me, never. I've never had someone come alongside me and try and encourage me. I mean, I've just done it from day one. Now, one kind of sad point is I used to do it a lot more than I do now, which I'm not happy about. It's kind of like if Revelations chapter 2, I think it is. It talks about the church of Ephesus, how Jesus says, I know your works and your labor of love, but there's one thing I have against you. You've left your first love. And I know that I did it a lot more just out of my love for Jesus. And so I feel like that could be spoken over me, which I'm not real happy about. And I love the fact that I'm spending this time to minister to you, because it's firing me back up. And I want to get fired up again to be doing it more often. However, I just want to say, I have still been consistently sharing my faith, just not nearly as much as I did in the first several years. But I still share consistently. And so then I thought, yeah, well, that is a good question. What keeps me going? What motivates me? What makes me do it? And so I thought about it, and I was trying to figure out, what is it? And I realized something really interesting. I've never even thought about this before. And it took me several minutes just sitting there thinking, what exactly? And I started picturing someone over here in a store, and I created a hypothetical example, and I thought, okay, what happens? I'm going to go over there and talk to them. Why? What makes me want to go? And I started thinking through all my thoughts, and I realized it isn't one thing. It actually came down to 8 things that are always there. All of them are always there. Every single one of them, every single time. They all play into why I do it every single time. I mean, when I started really thinking about this and writing it down, and then I'd go back over and I looked at them all, I realized there's not one of them that's not involved. There's not one that's not at play every single time. So I'm just telling you what's going on in my heart and in my mind. I wish it was one thing, that maybe it'd be simpler, easier to remember. But it's not. It's 8 things. I could have broken it down maybe a little differently, split some things out, but this is just how it came to me. And I think it's a perfectly good way to do it, even though I could do it a different way. So I'm going to go ahead and blow through all 8 in like 2 minutes, and then I'll teach on them next week. Okay? So here they are. Number 1, I first wrote this in the first person. I imagine heaven and hell. I think about heaven and hell and the fact that I have the answer for them to change their eternal destiny. I have it. I possess the answer to change this person's eternal destiny. And I did all these in the first person. Then I changed it and I decided I didn't like all the I's in there. It was starting to sound like the devil. I. So I'm just going to talk more in second person. Imagine, so I'm just, is that, would that, would that be second person? First person would be I, right? If I just say, you imagine. Yes, please.
It's funny that Brad's sharing this I and you thing, because right before he started sharing about the I and you thing, I caught myself because I was about to write at the top of the page, because I'm like, I need to write these down and then meditate on them this week. I started to write down at the top of the page 8 reasons Brad shares. But I felt like the Lord, this is before he was saying the I and you thing, and I felt like the Lord caught my heart, and I just in faith wrote down 8 reasons I share.
Ooh, that's good.
And I feel, yes. I feel like that's a bit of a word for the church, because here's the thing, we minister to people pretty naturally out, but I've not done this real well, but I'm just saying in faith, 8 reasons I share. And do you know what? In every area of life, you know, death and life is in the power of the tongue. And those that love it will eat its fruit thereby. And so there's something about, I want to encourage us, no matter where you are in the spectrum, if you've done this a lot, you've done this a little, just start being declarative. God, it pleases God for you to declare things. The enemy only wants you, the enemy calls you a hypocrite for saying something that's not yet true. God calls that faith.
Amen.
Do you see what I'm saying? 8 reasons you share. That's why he changed it to you. 8 reasons I share. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Amen. That's good.
So
that's beautiful.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for that, Peter. That's great. That's exactly what you want to do. You want to take this and personalize it and make it yours. So, okay, so here's 8, you could say reasons or motivations. I've debated between that word. Do I want to call it motivation or reasons? But imagine heaven versus hell, or imagine heaven and imagine hell, and that you... So, I mean, I literally think about heaven. You know how your mind can do this in a nanosecond. I think about heaven and I think about hell. And this person is very likely going to hell, and I can make the difference for them. I can change that. Number 2, imagine being united with them when in heaven. How glorious. You're in heaven and you're like, Frank, and he comes running up, and you give each other a hug, and Frank is there in heaven, because while you were at McDonald's and not being very wise, no, just teasing, you took the time to share your faith with Frank. And now Frank is literally in heaven because you took the time. I mean, think about how glorious that'll be when you see him there, when you see her there, that woman that you shared Christ with. I mean, that's powerful. Number 3, this is what I think about. This is what I encourage you to think about. Think about their deep emptiness. I have ministered to thousands, and though I have not led I didn't lead all of them to Christ. One thing I've noticed with every single one of them, they are empty. People in the world are seriously empty. I think it's a second. It's one of the top causes of death in the United States. One of the very top ones is suicide. I mean, it's rising every single year. Suicide is one of the major causes of death. I think it's in the top 2 or 3. What's that? Just for teenagers? Okay. But think about that. And you know what? That's my heart cry is teenagers. Most people I witness to are teenagers. That's just personally where I go to. A lot of people witness the senior citizens. A lot of people witness the kids. I love going to teenagers. So I think about their deep emptiness that is in there, and I have the answer to it. I mean, literally, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people that I've witnessed to, and I take their hand and I pray with them and they accept Christ. I've got a shoebox stuffed. I mean, literally the lid won't even fit on it. Stuffed with cards that people have mailed to me and letters thanking me for leading them to Christ. I mean, letters that just say, my whole life has changed. I'm full of joy and all this stuff. I only keep the really good ones. I've thrown it far more out than are in that box. The ones that are just too good, I can't throw away, I put in that box. It's a large shoebox, and it's stuffed with hundreds of letters. Huh?
You gotta read some for us here.
Yeah, that would be good. Ooh, that's good. I'm going to do that. I'm going to bring some in. That's good. Ooh, that is really good, man. Thank you for that. So think about their deep emptiness, and you literally have the answer to it. Number 4. Think about how pleasing and honoring this is to the Lord.
Wow, that's good.
And I think about that. It just immediately comes to my mind every single time. I love my Father so much, and I always want to please him. I want to do things that pleases my Father. I want to do things that please Jesus. I want to do things that please the Holy Spirit. If not for anything else, to make up for all the times that I grieve them. Lord, I'm going to do some good things. You know, I think about the fact that this would be so pleasing to him, because this person over there is someone he died for. Jesus died for. And they're completely lost. And I'm standing here in their presence. And the Father would be so pleased if I would go and share with them. I know it'll please him. Like, tremendously. And I love that. I know it'll be honoring to him. It'll honor my Father. I'm honoring my Father if I take the time to go speak with this person. So it's all kind of mixed in there, you know. I know it's honoring to him. I know it's pleasing to him. I know he'll be excited. The angels rejoice if you lead one person to Christ. All the angels. Number five, you do not want to show up empty-handed on that day. There is coming a day that you and I, every one of us, will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. It's called the judgment seat of Christ. And I'll talk more about this next week. But we will be judged for our works here on the earth. Think about it. You get there, and you've spent your whole life down here, and you stand before him, and you have nothing to offer him. No way that you served him. And you know, there's a lot of good things that we could do on this earth, helping people in many different ways. There is no greater gift amongst all those things that we can do. Nothing greater, no greater gift you can give to Jesus than one of the souls that he died for. That's the greatest prize that we can offer to Jesus. I do not want to be there that day without standing there with not one soul to offer to him that I led to him. I don't even want to be there with just five. You know what I mean? I spent my whole life and I've got five. I mean, I don't know if that's speaking to you, but I think about that every single time. I do not want to show up on that day. I'm motivated, but it's not a motivation out of works. This may sound like it's works. It's kind of hard to explain the difference, but it's not out of works. It's out of love. I mean, I love him. I want to bless his socks off when I get there that day. Out of love, I do not want to show up empty-handed. Number six, the fact that this is your ministry. You've been called to this. I find this exciting. I think about it and I think, this is my ministry. This is what I'm called to. I've been called to this. This isn't some sideline thing that I might do right now because I'm in a restaurant and I see this person, or I'm in a grocery store and I see this person. I just feel like I need to talk to them. It's not a sideline deal to me. This is my ministry. If everything else has to be set aside, this is the one thing I need to maintain throughout my life. This is my ministry on this planet. I'm called to this. You know what I'm saying? And that's something like, even what Peter was just saying, this would be one really be good to be meditating on. Get into 2 Corinthians 5, verses 17 through 21. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 17 through 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 21. Meditate on those and get it into your DNA that this is your ministry. You're called by God to be an ambassador for Christ. Number seven, it's another opportunity to work with one of the members of the Godhead, of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit gets majorly involved every single time you share Christ with someone. And it's powerful. And so I think about that. I see that person. I'm thinking, if I do this, Holy Ghost is going to manifest. He does every single time. This is an opportunity. And he does crazy things, awesome things. He gives me insights into their life. He'll tell me things, you know? He'll tell me. I'll go up there and start talking to him, and I'll just know their grandmother died last week. And I'll say, did your grandmother die last week? And man, you talk about crying. They just start bawling. How did you know that? The Lord just shared that with me, and he just wants you to know he knows that, and he knows the hurt you're going through. Oh my gosh. God is just loving all over them. Well, you know, when they were 20 feet over there and I'm standing here and they're 20 feet away and I've not made the decision to share Christ with them, do you know I don't get any of that? Amen. It's when I decide I'm going to, I get it. Now I'm in the river. I'm in the flow and the Holy Ghost will be involved. So I know that and it fires me up every time I go, well, if I do this, even though I'm kind of busy and I really need to be somewhere, I'm not going to get Holy Ghost where I'm going, but I'll get Holy Ghost when I go here. If I take 5 minutes, 10 minutes, talk to this person, and the rest of my day is going to be lit up, which gets me to point number 8. Think about the joy, and I put in my more exhaustive notes, on a more selfish note, think about the joy that will flood your soul, because I know that's what's going to happen. I've told people, and I do it myself, if I'm ever having a day that's really a tough day and I'm really feeling kind of down, I know one way guaranteed to get me out of it. Go share Christ with one person. I'll be lit like a Roman candle the rest of the day. It just fires you up. And my faith just goes through the roof. So those are the 8 things that just immediately flow through my mind and my heart. Every single time I look at someone, these are the things that go through my mind, and it fires me up. It motivates me. I would encourage you, if you'll take the time and consider and meditate on every single one of these and just go over and over and over them, I believe it will motivate you. It'll stir you up. Amen? So today, what I've been trying to do is not teach you how. I'm teaching you the why. The workshops are for the how. All I've been doing last week and today and next Sunday, I'm talking to you about the why. Why should you share your faith? Of course, the main reason, and it should be sufficient, is because he's called us to this. But I, even myself, it's part of the reason I do it. I do it because I know it'll honor the Lord, and it's my ministry. You know, you saw that was kind of woven in there. But the reality is there's other reasons I do it. And I'm just hoping that maybe these will minister to you as well. So that's it. And I'll expound on these a little bit more next week. Father God, I thank you so much for the truth of this message. And I pray now, whatever part of it was from you, Father God, that you would seal that right now by your Spirit. I pray for the sealing of your word today in our hearts, Father, that it would not be lost, and that every one of these seeds would begin to grow and bring forth a hundredfold return in our lives. Father, I pray your blessing on everyone who's hearing my voice right now. I pray your blessing on them for the remainder of this week, Father God, that you would bless them in a mighty way, and that, Father, when they come back next week, Father, they would be blessed just walking through this door. Their hearts would be prepared to enter into a powerful place of worship with you, Lord, and that you would manifest your presence, Father. I pray over next week's service that you would manifest your presence in a powerful way in this place, in this house. Lord, we love you. Lord, we just loved and enjoyed worshiping you. I loved and enjoyed worshiping you with my brothers and sisters today. We love you, Most High God. Blessed be your holy name. Amen. God bless you. Go in peace. And basketball, 4 o'clock. Oh yeah, registration for the workshop. Please take the time to go ahead and sign up for that. And if you've got the money today, pay today. If you don't, still sign up and just take care of the money next week.